listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
Scott. Whoa, oh. I'm Scott.
This is episode 154.
That's right, John, 154. Coming right on the heels, yeah. 153.
Wow.
That's how it works out when you do them sequentially.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I heard that.
So anything happened to you between 153 and 154?
Oh, yeah.
He went to a movie. We'll talk about that later.
Did a lot of work. Worked all day Saturday. Put in like 10 hours.
Ugh.
And then worked when I got home.
Ugh.
While my wife put on a big dinner party.
Really?
Yeah.
That was your excuse to get out of the dinner party?
Yeah.
Honey, I gotta work.
I can't, I can't participate in this. People go, where'd you go, man? I had to work. Yeah, we partied from 7 p.m. till 2:45 in the morning.
2:45?
Yeah.
Who was over at the dinner party?
We had Special Ed, his wife, Jeremy and his wife.
Oh, that's right. You mentioned this. This is where you guys have the dinner party, but yeah. It's really just Special Ed's friends.
Yeah.
What's wrong with
I don't know.
Come on. It's a dirty pot?
No. It's your mic. Hello?
Hello.
We need a new board.
It's this cord.
Maybe
I jiggled the cord.
Oh, yeah. That could be. That could be it, man. So, So
did you get any interviews?
No. I came home. I had this fucking brutal toothache. It was like a skull tooth.
When are you going to see somebody about that?
Tuesday. Yeah.
I'll gladly see you Tuesday.
Tuesday?
To a date.
To a date.
I fucking hate Skype. Come on. Please sort out a photograph of me sucking a cock.
So, I get home, and the wife is just, she's got fucking shit going everywhere in the kitchen.
No help? Just her?
Just her. And, I'm like, man, I can't do this, man. And I come down in the basement and I see the kids had left some of their shit out and somebody left their microphone out. So I flipped out. Get down here right now. And I had to hook up the Nintendo Wii upstairs because the wife bought some games, you know, so we could box and play Guitar Hero
after
and all
the
that.
Dinner party,
yeah, or and before, so I got that all hooked up, and for some reason, it wouldn't work. I bought like a wireless sensor bar. It's called the sensor bar. Reacts to the handheld controller, which sends information to the Wii game console. It's very cool.
Why
actually.
Are you talking like this?
Because I was drinking till almost 3 in the morning, stupid. I'm really, I'm hurting. It took me a while to get the hangover. So I'm doing hair of the dog. I've had 2 martinis already. And so anyway, I hook the thing up and it doesn't work. And I'm pissed off. I go online, try to see how you hook it up, and everybody's just like, just hook it up, you know, just turn it on. So I yell at my son, what is wrong with this thing? What did you do to it? Oh, Dad, you got the controller with the batteries are bad. Oh, so I changed the batteries and it's okay? Yeah, yeah. Here, let me give you some batteries. Oh, and it works.
Nice.
The batteries
sun comes through for you.
Yeah, yeah.
What if he wasn't there? What would you have done?
I would have whipped it on the ground as hard as I could.
And then told your wife to take it back?
Yeah. So people start coming over, and I'm upstairs. I'm laying down because my fucking mouth is killing me. So they're setting everything up, and I finally come down. You would not believe how much fucking food there was here.
Why not?
Dude.
How many people were at the party?
There was 12.
12 people.
And there was enough food for like 40.
Well, you got the new kitchen. The wife's utilizing it. That's all.
Well, she just made like some potato salad and all kinds of other little small stuff. But then she ordered tamales from the Mexican restaurant and ordered chocolate chimichangas. And now they're going to feature the Mai Tais that I make over at the restaurant.
That you make?
Yeah, the chocolate chimichangas are my recipe that I stole from another restaurant.
Really? Are they going to give you credit? Like,
yeah.
I'm going to go in and get the John?
Yeah.
They'll I'll have a John.
Mai Tai.
A John Mai Tai?
Yeah,
that's what I say.
Based on my last name.
On your last name.
Yeah. So,
okay. So, hey, you know, it's not the TTN Mai Tai.
Montai. Yeah.
Montai. Montai Williams.
They're gonna have,
it's the John Montai.
But last night we had three or four different kind of margaritas. And my wife bought this, like, dispenser. It's a big, long tube. And you put ice cubes in another tube, and it goes inside the middle of this device.
Yeah, I saw the box when I was coming downstairs. Yes.
She bought like three of those.
Keeps things chilled.
Yeah. And margaritas galore. And then we're doing shots of tequila all night long.
Ugh.
And
bleh.
I don't know what else we're drinking. Beer. I had a couple of beers. So the food was unbelievable. We had ribs. We had meatballs. We had tamales. We had all kinds of different Mexican. It was a tapas based. There was a bunch of like flat breads with cheese and like mushrooms on them, and then you put all these different toppings on them. And the wife made this potato salad that was fucking unbelievable with cilantro and raisins and apples, and I couldn't believe how goddamn good it was. And it was unbelievable. And then we had fondue. Special Ed made a bunch of fondue. You know the fondue?
not really. No.
You know what it is?
No.
It's a big pot of like melted cheese and wine, a dry white wine all mixed up. And then you got all these different breads and stuff around the fondue pot. And you got these little forks and you stick them in there. The breads, like croutons with the cheese. And then later on, the wife also bought a fondue pot and bought $18 worth of chocolate. And she melted it all in the pot. And then there was strawberries and cherries and breads and what do they call it? The pound cake. Just dipping all the shit in there. You know, and we're drinking tequila with it. I don't know. We had so much goddamn dessert, and it's unbelievable. And then we're playing Guitar Hero, and then we played some fucked up game where you roll the dice. Everybody gets $3. Everybody pulls out $3, and you roll these three dice. I think I told this story before, but we did it with lottery tickets. I hate this fucking game. And we played a round two, and I didn't want to play. So Special Ed's wife, Special K, starts calling me a pussy out loud. And she's really drunk. I said, say that again. Say it again. I go, I want everyone to hear you say that. She goes, okay, everybody, pussy. John is a big pussy. So Jeremy has his camera and he's videotaping her, and she thinks he's just taking pictures of her. He's videotaping her yelling pussy, And then she's enunciating pussy and cunt.
And we don't have the audio?
We don't have it. I'm trying to get it, man. It's great. It's great.
So the party was a smashing success?
Yeah, yeah.
Other than the hangover?
Yeah. Oh, then the wife.
And the cleanup.
The wife is getting really belligerent and yelling at people. And then all of a sudden she gets really quiet. She's sitting right next to me. I look at her and she's pasty white.
Mm.
Oh. So she points to the kitchen. She points to the kitchen like Babe Ruth points to the home run over the fence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Next thing I see is somebody sprint to the kitchen and pull the garbage can out of the cabinet and run in. And they put it in my chair. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Put what in your chair?
The garbage can. Like I was standing up.
Uh-huh.
And she like looks at it. She looks at me. She goes and grabs it like she's going to hurl. And she goes, I got to go upstairs. And she gets up, starts walking up the stairs, looks back at me and Jeremy, and gives one of us the finger. I don't know who it was.
For what?
I don't know.
Just because?
I guess. And Jeremy's like, oh, dude, she's pissed, man. What the fuck happened? What was that all about? I don't know. I think she's just kidding. No. She was fucking mad. What did we do? Nothing. You better check on her. So I run upstairs, and she's laying on the bed. I'm like, you okay? Yeah. Are you going to be sick? I don't know. Are you sure you're okay? Yeah. Okay. So I come back downstairs and we keep partying. And then people.
What time was this that your wife went up?
This is like, I don't know, 1:30.
Did you see her again after that or no?
I did later, yeah. But then I came down and we started, you know, drinking some more and shooting the shit. And then everybody got up and I look in the kitchen and, dude, I have never seen. You see my kitchen, it's not very big. But there's some decent counter space.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's a galley kitchen. Was that what you call it? Where it's like a long hallway?
Right.
Yeah.
There's not a square inch of fucking space on that counter that you can put anything on it. Because there are margarita glasses. There's wine glasses. There's shot glasses. There's plates. My wife bought brand new plates just for this party that have Christmas trees on them. And Jesus fucking Christ. And
he was on him too?
And bottles of booze, you know, everywhere. And they all pitched in and they cleaned up. It was like a scene of Top Chef where everybody's running around the kitchen with sharp knives and cleaning up. And we get done and a bunch of people leave. And my kids and special ed's kids and Jeremy's kids and some other people's kids and other kids from other houses are all at special eds, and the babysitter is watching like 15 kids.
One babysitter?
One babysitter. And they all go home. And there's just me, special ed, and the two lesbian chicks that live next door to them. And I go, you know, I just noticed in the basement there's 3 bottles of Tequila Rose. Really? And now we're talking, it's about, I don't know, 2:15 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, go get it. So I run down. Oh, and Jeremy's there, too. I run down, get the bottle of, at least one bottle of Tequila Rose, and we start doing shots. And Tequila Rose is tequila. It's like Bailey's, but strawberry flavored. Mm-hmm. And instead of Irish whiskey, it's tequila.
That's an excellent description.
Yeah.
It's like a beer with strawberry flavor, except it's not a beer, it's tequila.
That's retarded.
It's like strawberry lemonade, except for the strawberry lemonade, it's tequila.
No, you douche. Bailey's is cream and flavor and Irish whiskey.
Yes.
It's like vanilla cream. This is a strawberry cream.
With tequila.
Oh,
okay,
it's
very good.
Liquor,
then.
Yeah. So we're drinking that, and we get in this discussion about politically correctness and saying that's so gay, because Jeremy picks up on, he asks a question to the two lesbians about, yeah, John and Scott have this show, you know, and they talked about, is it offensive to say that's so gay? And somebody said, yes, it is. And the two of them just went off about how offensive that is, and that they own words like gay and fag and, you know, queer. And we're not allowed to say them, just like blacks can say nigger, but we can't.
Is that what he got from what we said?
No, he didn't get it. This is what the two lesbian women said.
Oh.
That they own these words.
I see.
And when they hear us say something like that, it's pejorative, it's derogatory. And I said, but no, we're emasculating each other. We're joking, we're kidding. Yeah. Well, I go, so when I'm golfing with my friends and my friend putts and he misses the hole, and I say, does your husband play? Something like that, which means to infer that he's a woman. Is that offensive to you? Because we're saying that negatively women are bad. We're saying that a straight man who we're calling him gay, yeah, would be bad. It would be like saying if he was had one arm or something. You know, I mean, it's like we say to emasculate him, to give him shit. But we're not saying for a gay person it's bad if that's what you're into. Or genetically, that's what happens.
Now, this is the conversation you should have recorded. So
yeah,
what did they
I really did think it. Well, you know, it got really, it was really a very nice conversation. It was a great discussion. We had special ed, you know, because he just went, I am not PC. I say whatever the fuck I want, you know, and we're like, yeah, you're a Republican. That's the way you look at the world. And what? People call me wetback and spick, you know? Doesn't bother me. Yeah, it might not bother you if it was somebody you knew, but if you're just walking down the street with your kids and somebody said that, you might get pissed off. You might pull some Steven Seagal on them. So it's understandable why people might get upset. But when it's jokingly, unless they tell you, hey, I'm offended by that, you'd say, well, sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. I was trying to rip on my friend here. It's different. That way, it seems like it should be okay. We should get past that in life. There's other things to really worry about. And they came to kind of agree to that because they do it within themselves. They do. I go, well, what do you do? Like, do you call somebody straight that's gay to offend them? Well, I'm offended by that. How dare you?
That's an excellent point, John.
Yeah.
So they came around. They said, well, yeah, I guess, you know.
Well, you know, we kind of hit a middle ground. We basically said, well, I don't know what it's like to be gay. I don't know what it's like to
You do too.
Not as much as you do. I'm still learning. I'm willing to learn. But I said, you know, I don't know what it's like to be that. But I know what it's like to be overweight and get shit for that. And maybe lose my hair. And, you know, somebody say, oh, thinning up on top. Getting a little gray, getting older. I'm like, you know, we do some comedy on the show once in a while. Somebody has to be the brunt of the joke, right? Isn't comedy tragedy and timing equals comedy?
Yeah, usually. So that's why not only is the W going to be the worst president in history, he's going to be
the funniest
in a couple more years. If he's not already.
So we hit that kind of middle ground, but it was nice to have this discussion and disagree on in areas that we've never tread before as a group. Some heterosexual males talking to two lesbians and being very open-minded in the discussion. Of course, very liquored at the same time.
A true exchange of ideas.
Yes. And then we know, oh, look at time flies. It's 3:15. Get the fuck out of my house.
You lesbians.
Yeah.
You dykes.
Yeah. So at 2:45, they left. I waited for special ed to call me because I needed to know if I had to get my kids. And he said, no, they're sleeping in the basement in my house. Just leave them. So I walk upstairs at 3:00 and the wife is sleeping on the bed. Hears me. I said, hey, you okay? Yeah, yeah. I go, did you throw up? Yeah. I go, where? And I'm looking all around on the floor. And I made it to the bathroom. Oh, good. I walk in. The first sink in the bathroom is just full of puke.
Oh.
That she tried to wipe up, you could see, and there's little swirl marks of salsa and chicken bits.
So do you take photos of that?
No.
So that when she gives you shit the next time, you could just show the photo?
No.
Hey, I had to clean this up, okay?
No, I didn't clean it up. I left it. I leave that shit in there. Let her chisel it off tomorrow. Because the thing is, in all the years she's known me, I've only got so drunk to throw up one time in our whole 20 years together.
Wow.
And that was on my 25th birthday when she threw a surprise party for me at the Beacon Tap.
Yeah.
So I could blame it on her.
Well, I was thinking of that for my wife, and there's two of them that I can remember. My daughter's...
Oh, I love that story, the 40th birthday or
the
whatever.
The 40th birthday party, and then my daughter's second birthday party.
What? You know, second birthday party?
I didn't throw up at that party. I just passed out.
Oh, wow. So that's even better.
I take that back. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. So yeah, that was the party last night. So I got up at 8. So I didn't really sleep too good. So I'm really tired, man. I'm plus I worked and yeah. I tried to take a nap, but then you fucking called me right as I was sleeping.
Oh, did I?
I just hit my stride, man. I'm like
with the CPAP and everything?
Yeah. I just hit it. I hit the REM, man.
I should text you next time.
And then I hear I'm like, oh fuck that! If that's not my wife, if it is my wife, I'm gonna fucking flip out. I pick it up and I see Scott. And I'm like, oh Jesus Christ! So I pretend like I'm all awake. Hello, hey man, what are you eating? No.
Yeah. I'll text you next time.
Hey, we on? What are we doing? We on? I don't know. You tell me. No, you tell me. You tell me, man. We on? I don't know. Were you showing off for somebody?
No.
Oh.
Just myself.
Did you have an audience?
No.
Nice.
That is nice.
So that's all I did, basically.
Well, my wife took my daughter downtown. They got a room downtown. They do this every year. They usually leave on a Friday night, and they spend all day Saturday, and then Sunday they come home.
Well, you know, when the kids, your son gets a little older,
yeah,
you should do what we do, which is during the Lights Festival,
yeah,
go downtown and get a hotel room like at the Intercontinental.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want, you can stay in there and watch the parade or go down outside and watch the parade and fireworks.
Yeah, yeah, we're not into parades.
No.
So this is like a bonding thing for the wife and the daughter, you know?
Yeah.
They go downtown, they go shopping, they catch a movie or whatever. They have lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
And then I'm stuck with my son at home.
What's wrong with that?
I can only take so much of my son.
Oh, come on. You guys are going to be buds.
I hope so. I'm at this point now where I'm just waiting.
You kill him.
Can you? Yeah. When are you going to mature? All right. Can you mature
never.
Already?
Have we?
Yes, but to the point where everything is not a challenge. Hey, Brody, don't do that. And he looks at me and he keeps doing it.
Yeah,
it involves action, which, you know, I'm one of the laziest MFers on the planet. So that means, okay, now I got to get up. Follow through.
There is a point where...
When does that stop?
Your voice is all... is needed. The kids right now are at a point when the wife just has to say, wait till your father gets home, and there's nothing but pure behavior. I mean, there's just like angelic children because they don't want to hear my voice. It's something clicks at a certain age.
Well, we did a science story, and they said at the age of 12 is when kids start to learn from mistakes.
Yeah.
Before then, they don't. Is it 12 or is it earlier than that? Because I can't wait till 12.
I think my daughter was earlier. My son still is. We're still waiting on him.
Mm.
But the voice, though, is the thing. Like I told you, I gave him the discussion. Are you injured and all that? And they started bawling.
Right.
Because when I just get the deadpan, serious poker face going, that means business.
All business.
All business. Like if we're out to dinner and I look at them both and I say to both of you, if you act up one more time, you're getting one when we get home.
It's like the front of a mullet. All business.
All business. That's party right. In the back. Yeah.
So last night was okay. I was with my son. We watched some movies. Then this morning I had to wake him up. I wake him up at 5, right?
What?
So we can drive down, avoid all traffic, get to the hotel room. Then we could take like a little nap, you see? And then we hang out. The whole family hangs out downtown. And we have lunch.
Oh, fuck that.
The wife was trying to
I wouldn't be driving downtown.
Photos.
You had to pick them up?
Well, actually, I drove them down yesterday, dropped them off, and then I drove down today.
Why didn't they take the train?
I don't know.
It's fun.
For my son, it would be fun. I don't know if for my daughter.
My daughter won't have it any other way.
So we tried to get the Christmas photo today. We were down at the Bean.
Oh.
You ever been down by the Bean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my son is like unbelievably uncooperative.
Yeah, forget it.
We go shopping. He's pulling the same shit. We're at Eddie Bauer, I think, and he's just being a total ass. And I said, all right, Emma, hold on to this. And I grab him. We're going outside.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, how am I gonna discipline him once I get him outside?
Spank him.
But that was enough just to take him outside.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was in tears by the time we got outside.
I want mommy. Did you get down to his level? Did
oh,
you get
I got down to his level. No, no.
Eye contact?
I bent over, and I shoved his face in mine, and I said, knock the shit off.
You said shit?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't say that. I say, are we done? Are we done now? Yes. Are we done? What are we done doing? Being bad? Yeah. We're done. I don't have to swear, man. No swearing coming out of me. Because when it happens, oh my God. That means
you want to save the swearing.
Yeah, I've really lost it. I'm way beyond. Something's coming down and it's not good. You know what I'm saying?
I think so. I think I know what that means. All right, I'll try that. I'll save the swears.
You got to save them. Because then they know.
Did you pass gas, man?
No.
Maybe it's your dog. Is your dog known to pass gas?
Oh, yeah. Brutally. Brutally. It'll bring tears to your eyes. You could taste it in your mouth.
Yeah,
and
usually.
A little grit. A little gritty.
You kick the dog out, but today he's just sitting right here.
I didn't know he was in there.
Well, I didn't think it would be a big deal. I mean, your dog is a great dog, but I didn't know the gas thing.
No. I didn't know he was having a problem.
That's brutal.
I think the wife gave, because yesterday part of the meal was filet mignon sliders.
Mm.
Special Ed fired up some filet mignons on the grill in the rain. And those were fucking good because they served them with grilled onions and some kind of A1 and then
spit it out, man.
Horseradish. Horseradish. It's quite good.
Nice.
I'm telling you, dude, yesterday I was like, wait, this could be a business. You know what? As long as we get to party, too.
What's the business?
Just throwing these parties. Because originally we were talking about catering it. We're going to have people here. We're going to have bartenders and servers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And just 12 of us. And just get served up and we didn't have to do anything.
Right.
And then we thought, well, fuck that. That's crazy for 12 people. If we had like 20, 30 people, let's do it. But if that would be, then I'd have to get a tent or something over the deck and some heat, you know, pumping through so people could mingle all throughout the house. So we just ended up, everybody did a little something.
Something.
Yeah. But the food was phenomenal.
Yeah. All right, then. Well, let's move on. Let's move on, John.
I saw a movie. Did you see a movie?
I did see a movie. I saw the movie you gave me, Step Brothers.
Great, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, I give it the same review you did. It was all right. It was. I thought the best part of the movie was the rivalry between the older brother and the younger brother.
Yeah.
Punch me in the fucking face.
Wasn't that great?
That was great.
And he socks him.
Yeah.
You didn't like the anal scene where the chick is taking it from behind?
Maybe you were watching a different movie because I don't remember that at all.
You don't remember the part where they like run out of the house and then they meet in the living room and they start doing it and then they break through the doors and the whole family's eating dinner?
Did you watch the extended version?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I watched the theatrical version.
Oh, dude. That's what did it, man. The extended version.
All right. I'll have to watch
that. They break in like twice. Oh, my God. And I knew it.
I'm like, what
are
you talking about?
I knew he had to do her in the butt because she, like, grimaced when he, like, let's do it right. Oh. And then through the doors. Oh, her back hurt. And he's still, like, in her while he's massaging her back.
Did you tell me to watch the extended version?
No.
Yeah.
I left that out.
Because one of the things, you know, you hit play.
Yeah.
So there's play on the menu. You hit enter.
Yeah.
And then you get another menu. You want the theatrical version?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Give me the theatrical.
I always look at the
extended. Then you hit enter. Then what? Then you got to hit play again. Who made this menu system? Ridiculous.
We shit with the door open. We talk about pussy.
That was right off the bat, that line.
Yeah, that's great. And he's just needling his dad. Shut up! It's great. Yeah.
I'll have to check. Well, do I go and look at the extras, or do I have to watch the extended version now?
Well, you can watch the extended version, just fast forward to the part where they're all having dinner, and the dad is just lamenting about, my life's over. You fucked everything up. And that's when they meet in the other room and...
Nice.
Start banging.
Nice.
Yeah. Did you see her stand up and take a piss in the urinal?
Yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I saw... I decided... I really want to go see... I know it's got one star...
And two stars. I've seen two stars.
I want to see the Day the Earth Stood Still.
Well, that makes sense because you're the guy that says if they spent $100 million on the movie,
yeah,
I want to see it on the screen. I want to see the explosions. I want to see all that
shit. So I said, Nate, you want to go see this movie? My son, who's going to be 10.
What's it rated?
PG-13.
Uh-huh.
He goes, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's go. So we...
Movie Co?
Nice. We go to Steak and Shake first. This is our routine. We always do it like this. We do a matinee, and we go, dude, we're going to Steak and Shake, right? Yeah, shake and bake. You know, we hit knuckles. We get in the car, go over to Steak and Shake, and we belly up to the diner counter.
Mm-hmm.
We never sit at a table. The tradition is diner counter.
You get faster service, right?
Son, dad, well, it doesn't matter. It's what men do, you know. We shit with the door open. We talk about pussy.
Have you talked about pussy with your son yet? We make beef jerky.
Almost. Not quite. And, you know, we order up. I let him get whatever he wants because we're not with mom, you know. So that means chocolate shake, a big one.
Nice.
Even if he doesn't finish it. And instead of the kids' meal, chicken strips with fries, he gets the regular one.
Yeah. Nice.
So he's tripping. And then we fire over to Movieco, get our tickets, sit down, and watch about 45 minutes of previews. And I got to say, the new Wolverine movie?
Uh-huh.
Whoa.
So, wait a minute. Is it an X-Men movie or specifically a Wolverine movie?
It's an X-Men Origins movie.
So, it's a prequel.
Yeah, it's about how Wolverine was made.
See, I've never seen any of those movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they're pretty good.
Speaking of previews, did they show a preview with Nicolas Cage?
Yes.
And it's called Knowing?
Is that the movie? Yeah. Knowing, or something? Looks pretty cool.
Yeah, that looks good.
And another one that looks really fucking cool, the guy who did Cloverfield is doing, J.J. Abrams is doing Star Trek.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that looks good.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. It's good.
So we sit down, we start watching the movie. The movie opens up with Keanu being awakened in 1928 to some noise. He climbs a mountain top, and there's this glowing orb, which he touches, and then he starts hammering at because it's covered with ice with his little climbing axe.
Chisel.
And the next thing you know, he's waking up and there's a circle on the back of his hand. Okay, great. The next thing happens is they're in a classroom with Jennifer Connelly. She's a scientist. She's giving a class. She goes home. She has a black son. I think it's Jaden Smith.
Will Smith's kid.
And you kind of don't know what the hell's going on. But all of a sudden... the feds show up at her place and tell her she's got to leave. Come with us. So they take her away. He goes with a neighbor, and they're with a bunch of scientists, and they said, well, there's something about to hit Earth. It's on a direct path to Earth. They're like, well, how much time do we have? Let's evacuate. We have 78 minutes.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here comes this sphere. And I think it's a spaceship in the original movie. And out of it comes an alien. And Jennifer Connelly reaches out to touch it, and somebody shoots it. Well, with that, this big fucking robot jumps out and starts creating some havoc. And the alien says something to the robot, and he chills out. They bring the alien back to somewhere. And turns out late, it's Keanu Reeves. It's all, you know, pretty much just like the original. And my son is, I look at him while they're like operating on the alien, and he's got his hands over his ears and he's squeezing his eyes tight, so tight I could see tears running down his face.
And how many minutes in the movie are we?
Just, you know, maybe 15.
15 minutes.
I'm like, dude, are you okay? Yeah, just tell me when it's over, Dad. I'm like, what? We saw fucking Batman. We saw the Dark Knight, for Christ's sake. Are you kidding me? What freaked my son out about this movie was the soundtrack. It has that eerie, I don't know if you remember the old like creature feature movies and the old sci-fi movies.
Oh, yeah.
They have that eerie, like, I don't know, like there's the bow is scratching across a violin, you know, that throughout the whole soundtrack. And he was getting really into it, and to the point where it would. And Keanu, now for my son, I bet he is like the greatest actor in the world. Because
Matrix, Bill and Ted.
Yeah, well, because usually he sees Keanu all fucked up, all crazy, and he's playing this really monotone, robotic like character.
He's playing himself, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. But from my son's perspective, this guy's really creeping me out. He went from this alien pasty looking guy. He's grown into this normal guy. He's got this creepy music behind him every time he comes on the screen. And there's a scene where they drive out into the woods and he gets out of the car. And my son just puts his hands over his ears again. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I am completely oblivious to what's happening to him. I said, you want to go, buddy? No, just tell me when it's over. Well, it's going on for a good 10 minutes, you know. Finally, he just looks at me. He goes, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here now. Let's go now. All right. Grab his shit. He's already gone. I'm grabbing his coat. He's out of there.
How many minutes into the movie are we?
The movie was supposed to start at 1:40. It started about 2 o'clock, and it was 3 o'clock when we walked out. So like an hour, maybe 45 minutes.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I have not seen the movie yet.
Has he talked to you about it? Did he tell you why?
He said he was afraid stuff was going to start jumping out, you know, like where they suck you in and it's real quiet and then da, that kind of shit.
I see.
And I couldn't understand. I said, well, let me ask you, dude, you saw Star Wars 3. And, you know, there's Darth Vader gets all burned up and charred up and stuff. And you were like, yeah, Dad, that's, you know, that's Star Wars. I mean, it's different. Okay, what about Batman? We went to see The Dark Knight, and the Joker is cutting people's face open, and he goes, yeah, that was really bloody. I said, well, Nathan, there actually was no blood in that movie. It was implied. Yeah, I know, but Dad, it was action. There was always action going on. Oh, so he just, to him, it was the spookiness of the movie. I said, well, what about Harry Potter? That is like really scary. Dad, that's not scary at all. That's funny. Oh, Jesus Christ. So I couldn't pin down what was really bugging him. All I could think of is that the soundtrack was really eerie. And it just gave him a bad feeling, you know.
The willies.
Maybe he's getting into this point where he's starting to connect certain things that are weird. Like, you know, he started telling me, you know, ghosts are real. And no, they're not. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then he, like, tells me some stuff. And I'm like, did you make that up? No. You know, and he always says, like, you know, they say, or I've heard from who? People, my friends at school, you know, there's zombies are real, Dad. Oh, boy. So I didn't get to finish watching the movie.
Oh, well, maybe we can go see it sometime.
Let's go right now. Let's shut this thing down and go.
All right, let's do it.
Wanna?
Yeah.
No, seriously?
Why not? Check the movie time.
No, it's almost 9:30.
Oh. So we can get at 10 o'clock. What is the movie running time? Like an hour and a half? So it'd be 2 hours total with previews, so we wouldn't be home till midnight. You got a hangover, though, right?
A little bit, yeah.
You know, before we did the podcast, we used to go to see a movie every Sunday. Almost every Sunday.
What?
What?
What do you mean?
Who?
Where?
What?
What?
What'd you say?
Before we started the podcast, you and I and whoever would go see a movie on Sunday night.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah.
The reason why I'm being so short is I'm going to sneeze any second. It's like foreplay, you know?
It is.
It like tickles your nostril.
Sneezing is the closest thing to orgasm. Did you know that, John?
Says who? See, now you sound like my son. They say
that. People say that.
The people.
People what? That I talk to.
My friends at school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I get a 4.0 grade point average, and I'm the oldest guy in the class.
No. It's an adult. It's an education tailored to adults, John. When I went to Harper, I was the oldest one in class. I was older than some of the teachers.
Hey, somebody tagged me in a video and posted it on my Facebook account.
Oh, yeah? What video?
Araby.
Really?
Yeah.
It's making the rounds in Facebook now?
Yeah.
Huh.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Nice, huh?
Yeah, it is. It's hot, man. It's hot. If you're a new listener, what John's referring to is the short film
right
that we put together based on the short story by James Joyce, Araby, and what really happened in the story.
James Joyce.
Not James Joyce, who was a coward when he wrote the story.
Was he?
Yeah, he didn't want to fess up.
Why? Is he scared?
Well, in the short story, he has this crush on this girl, right?
Yeah.
And then in his mind, so the first half of the story is all about what a great girl she is. And then in his mind, he constructs this scenario where she blows him off. He's not good enough. She laughs at him, makes jokes with her friends. And so he never really even approaches her because of that. Because his mind created this elaborate story of her blowing him off. What Araby says, what the short film Araby says. What was the title of that film? Mangan Smoking Sister. Is that James Joyce was being cowardly when he wrote that short story. If he was writing it autobiographically, he would have said that he really did approach the woman and she treated him this way. Because he writes with such venom about this woman.
Venom.
If you imagine or if you fantasize that she blows you off, then you quickly overcome that. You rationalize that away, and you go after the woman. That's what evolution is all about.
Yeah.
Procreating. So I didn't buy it for a second. I didn't buy that short story for a second. So what my video says is that he really did approach the woman, and she rejected him so unbelievably badly that now he can write with such emotion and passion and venom towards this woman. There you have it.
10:15 at premiere.
10:15. Let's do it, man.
Really?
If you're up for it.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Really?
I'll do it.
Yeah. I don't know if I can do it. Are you calling my bluff? Because, well, my daughter's coming. My daughter's
whatever, man. I knew it,
She's getting sick, so she might be out of school tomorrow. And you had a hangover. What happened?
No, don't put it back on me, you big pussy.
I am a big pussy.
Yeah, let's do a bit. All right. are you calling my bluff, man? Yeah, I don't want to do it, man. We'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah. All right, so right before I got here tonight, John, before I got here, I'm looking at the interwebs. And I haven't seen the video yet. But somebody put together a GIF file. Is there, or do you say GIF?
GIF.
Of the W ducking a shoe.
Yeah.
Actually two shoes.
Yeah.
That were thrown at him.
Yeah.
Have you seen the video?
Yes. It's awesome.
It's going to be...
It's got to be the greatest fucking... And the second shoe... Maliki or whatever his name is reaches his hand out.
Yeah, but it's kind of a wuss ass reach, isn't it?
He like waits till it goes by and then he goes,
Oh,
damn it.
So the W makes a surprise visit to Iraq.
Yeah.
And he's going to talk about his legacy and what a great job he's done.
Yeah.
And the violence is going down and he's responsible for Iraq's new democracy. So some guy who's a reporter. It gets so goddamn pissed off. I don't even know. I haven't heard the audio. All I've seen is this, this GIF file.
Yeah.
He takes his shoe off and he throws it at the W. And he's like, what, 10 feet away, 12 feet away? Just wings it at the W.
And he whips it.
The first throw was dead on.
Yeah.
I mean, if the W didn't move.
That dude is going to get a contract with the New York Yankees, man.
I was surprised how fast the W moved. Were you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was chimp-like reflexes, man.
That's what it was, man.
Unbelievable. I got some audio from CNN of chick. This just in.
Well, hold on. So the first shoe thrown, the W ducks. The guy reaches down, takes his second shoe off. Nobody's stopping him. Where is the Secret Service? Did they just stop watching the W when he goes to Iraq?
They did come out like right after.
Right after? I mean, I would think that one of the Secret Service guys would jump in the way of the second shoe, you know?
And I heard Dana Perino, who is the press secretary. She got a microphone right in the eye, so she's got a black eye.
When did that happen?
That happened during the scuffle.
Oh,
because after he whipped the two shoes, they took him down, and you see a bunch of guys come out these back doors behind the podium, and they all like bum rush the guy, and you hear him yelling, "Oh, oh, oh!" And they tase him or something. I got the audio.
Apparently, the guy said, "This is a farewell kiss, you dog."
Yeah.
So he whips these two shoes. Then the people in the audience are the ones taking him down. Yeah. Not Secret Service, not security, people in the audience. But the W, I was impressed with his reflexes.
Yeah. Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa.
It's great.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great, man.
So you want to hear my audio?
So 50 Jesus years God. From now, when they, you know, we've been talking, the W's been talking about his legacy. We've been talking about his legacy. 50 years from now, I don't think they're going to be able to reference George W. Bush without playing this video.
The shoe video, right. Remember that time, man? Here it is. I think.
And again, one of the television correspondents at this news conference in which the president is there on an unannounced visit, part of a ceremonial signing of the agreement, and you see it there. One right after the other. One of the journalists jumps up, throwing the shoes at the president. Let's listen in.
Yeah, they tased him too, man.
Did they?
Yeah.
They tased the guy?
Yeah, you heard it there.
Don't tase
right
me, bro.
On TTN. Yeah.
All I heard was,
yeah, you hear him screaming, too, in the background. It's pretty funny. Yay, yay.
And again, one of the television here. Amazing. You see one of the journalists there. We are getting reports that he is from Al-Baghdadiya Television. A correspondent at this press conference reportedly says, "This is the end." Makes the statement, "This is the end," today, just before throwing the shoes. Patty Colhane joins us.
Hey, that's
us now
not what
live
we're
from
reporting.
The White House. Patty?
What?
Hey, Christina, how are you?
She said, "This is the end."
We do know that Dana Perino, though, had a bit of a black eye. Apparently, she was caught in the melee to get a hold of this television reporter and got a microphone in her eye. So Dana Perino, the White House spokeswoman, has a bit of a black eye. You're seeing the video here. Apparently, as you said, this is a television reporter, and he screamed
out, "I
want to
see slow-mo.
This is a farewell kiss you dog."
That's right. That's what I'm reporting.
What is the importance of the shoe? Well, in an Arab culture, that is considered, the sole of the shoe is considered an insult. So it was
because you step in shit with your
President
shoe.
Bush during his surprise visit to Baghdad.
And again.
Yeah. Nice. Jesus Christ.
The W.
They throw the shoe at him.
So what's going to happen to that guy? Is he under U.S. jurisdiction? I mean, if you did that shit on U.S. soil, you wouldn't see the light of day.
No.
What happens to him?
They probably sent him to Gitmo.
Gitmo.
I don't know. It was great. I mean, the W just like, he like full on ducked, man. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was almost assassinated once. I got thrown a shoe at my head. Yeah.
Yeah. The W later said, "It was a size 10. Oh.
What a douche.
I mean, does it sink in? Does it at least start to sink in to the W what a total failure he was as a president? Or does he rationalize all this stuff away? Goddamn crazy Iraqis. If you do accept that, like let's say he rationalized it and he says, these goddamn crazy Iraqis, then doesn't that not bode well for your whole Bush doctrine thing? Like, does he think now, why did I even bother saving these people? They're all crazy anyway.
Right.
They need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. Savior.
Jesus Christ.
Not no Allah and Abraham and Muhammad.
Even though the Bible's not literally true, I'm not no literalist, John.
Literalist. Sure aren't. Literalist.
Yeah. Douche.
So, I don't know what I fucking did with the Silver Bells track, man.
I got one more story until you can find it.
All right.
Now, we report on a marijuana, Mary Jane stories, and we think what a joke it is that they're this war on drug and it targets marijuana.
Right.
Because you smoke a joint and you want to just eat Doritos. You don't want to harm anybody.
Right.
And then I see this story, John. This doesn't make any sense to me at all. Maybe you can help me explain this. Man convicted of cutting up wife is seeking new trial. A man convicted of first-degree murder in a case which authorities said he dismembered and cooked his wife's body in their Summit Township restaurant is seeking a new trial. The request is based on what his defense says is new evidence he was in a state of marijuana-induced psychosis.
What?
At the time of the killing. Have you ever even heard that?
No.
Marijuana-induced psychosis?
Never.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if it's just the defense. Hey, we got to think up something.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy cut his wife up. We got to come up with something. Let's make up marijuana-induced psychosis. Is this a real thing?
That's a good one. That is a good one.
Blah, 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 blah. At the heart of the hearing, Dr. Joseph Galdi said he was not questioned at Kevin Arts' trial about findings that indicate Arts was intoxicated by marijuana when he killed his wife, making it possible he did not do it intentionally. There was a high likelihood that he displayed marijuana psychosis, said Galdi, a retired consulting forensic examiner at the Center of the Forensic Psychiatric in Saline. Galdi testified at the 2001 trial of the former co-owner.
He doesn't know.
Apparently, this guy, 52, used a metal bar to bludgeon to death his wife of 46. Oh, here they say, a state of marijuana psychosis is characterized by intense fear, heavy drowsiness, and visual illusions, Galdi said. Intense fear. I've heard of paranoia. Right?
Yeah,
is it? Would that be the same as fear?
I doubt it.
Heavy drowsiness. Okay, yeah. And you fall asleep.
I don't know. That sounds like a bunch of crap to me.
It sounds like a load of shit to me. And visual illusions. Have you ever had visual illusions?
No.
On the Mary Jane?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I don't know what they're talking about.
Illusion. It's an illusion.
Apparently, Arts perceived his wife to be a demon. Okay, well, why not drag religion into court?
Yeah,
then? Blame it on them. No, they're going to blame it on Mary Jane. Why don't you blame it on religion and the fairy tale that is Satan? How about that?
Satan.
Yeah. A bunch of crap.
A bunch of crap.
It is a bunch of crap. Did you find that track there, John? Now, this is my favorite Christmas song of all time, and I mean that.
Yeah.
I mean it, John.
And I'm going to, how about the Funky Town? The Bad Funky Town.
The Bad Funky Town? Didn't we play Funky Town already?
Did we?
I can't remember.
Real fast version of it from a couple weeks ago.
Can you go to our homepage? Because if we did play Funky Town, funky, the word funky will be on our homepage.
The word funky?
Yes, the word funky.
What are you saying, funky? Oh, this cold. I'm getting another cold, dude.
I just got over something that was wicked. Wicked.
Wicked. It's wicked.
Wicked.
It's wicked.
It's wicked.
It's wicked.
It was, oh, we didn't get to our telemarketer phone call.
Oh, yeah.
And Alfie's got to come over.
On 52, we had 152.
Yeah.
I don't see anything. Thanksgiving, medical stuff, Cheney. End of faith.
Just put in funky.
Do you hear what I hear? Molly's lips.
Right. Just put in funky.
Where?
And then search for it. Are you in Firefox?
Yeah.
Edit, find, funky, and see if it returns anything. If it doesn't return anything, we have not played Funky Town.
We played it on 135 on June 16th.
We played Funky Town?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, this must be a new version,
yeah,
then, right?
Yeah, it is. It's from two practices ago.
Yeah.
Where I played it too fast.
Well, that's okay, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can play, play it. One? Yeah, sure, no doubt. No doubt.
All right, so we'll start out with your favorite Christmas song of all time, and then a really sped up Funky Town.
Nice.
And I need a drink.
Out of sight.
I'm getting a real dry throat. And then we have Andrew's Minute.
And Alfie's supposed to come over.
Yeah, when we get back. All right?
All right.
All right? You good with that?
I'm good with that.
Gotta move out.
Cut that too soon. Oops.
Wow.
Dude, you are fucking stellar on the bass on that, man.
Dude, man. Come on. And singing at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Point that out.
Holy
yeah.
crap.
Right on.
That's why I had to play it, because I started out at the right speed, and by the end, we were doing like... I don't know. We were doing like a Wasp version of the song or something.
It's hot.
Yeah.
It's hot.
Totally hot, man.
Well, we are expecting a special guest tonight at some time. I don't know when he's going to come by. But until then, John, I don't know if you've seen this, but more Americans believe in the devil, hell, and angels than in Darwin's theory of evolution.
Really?
Some of the interesting findings in this new Harris poll include 80% of adult Americans believe in God, unchanged since the last time they asked the question in 2005. Large majorities of the public believe in miracles, 75%. Heaven, 73%. Angels, 71%.
Yosemite Sam.
That Jesus is God or the Son of God, 71%. The resurrection of Jesus, 70%. Well, that doesn't make any sense. If it's 71% that he's God, then why do only 70% believe in the resurrection? The survival of the soul after death, 68%. Hell, 72%. The virgin birth of Jesus to Mary, 61%.
Come on.
And the devil, 59%.
Come on.
Guess how many percentage believe in Darwin's theory of evolution, John, of Americans? 47%.
47%. That's pretty good.
7%.
Getting up there.
Which is higher than creationism.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got all these people that believe in God and the Son of God and miracles, heaven, hell, angels, right? In the 70s.
Yeah.
47% believe in evolution. 40% believe in creationism.
Wow.
Other sizable minorities believe in ghosts, 44%. UFOs, 36%. Witches, 31%. Astrology, 31%. And reincarnation, 24%.
That's out there, man.
So since 2005, the people that believe in God are still at 80%.
Yeah.
Now, since 2005, three of the books that we know of, Hitchens, Dawkins, and Sam Harris came out.
Yeah.
And apparently they just sold books to people that already didn't believe in God. They didn't change anybody's opinion whatsoever. And can you really? I don't think you really can. If somebody believes in God, there's nothing you can do.
Nothing.
Just as you and I, John, we do not believe in God. There's nothing that somebody that believes in God can say that would persuade us to change our mind.
Right.
But I tell you this, John, if God, evidence of God, other than being on our show, to materialize, we would change our opinions.
Punch me in the fucking face.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I hear you, brother.
That's right.
Speaking the word of the gospel.
In other religious news, John, Muslim.
The Muslim, over by there.
I show like
goddamn the Muslims.
Yes, my fringe. The Muslims.
The Shiites and the anti-Semites and those goddamn Sunnis.
This is out of the UK.
Yeah.
They have a tremendous influx of Muslims in the UK. And the Muslims are saying that they want prayer rooms opened in every Catholic school, which doesn't make any sense to me. If you're a Muslim, why would you send your kid to a Catholic school?
I don't know.
I don't get that. You know, we got Anonymous Glenn who sends us emails about his experience in Catholic school, and he's in math class, and they start talking about religious stuff in math class. So I would imagine whatever class you go to in a Catholic school, they're going to start talking about God from a Catholic perspective. So I don't even understand that at all. Are Catholic schools state-sponsored? What's the deal? Are they all Catholic schools?
They could be.
I don't know. But the Muslims have
asked Andrew about that
for prayer rooms in Catholic schools. The Catholic bishops of England and Wales also want facilities in schools for Islamic pre-prayer washing rituals. Did you know about this, John?
No.
Washing rituals? The demands go way beyond legal requirements on catering for religious minorities, but the bishops, who acknowledge 30% of pupils at their schools hold a non-Christian faith, want to answer critics who say religious schools sow division.
A sphincter says what?
I am so confused by this story. 30% of Catholic schools are teaching Muslims? That doesn't make any sense to me.
How dare they?
Andrew's got to explain this to us, because I don't get it.
Andrew's minute.
The recommendations were made in a document, Catholic Schools, Children of Other Faiths, and Community Cohesion. If practicable, a room or rooms might be made available for the use of pupils and staff from other faiths for prayer.
Yeah.
The bishop said. Get this. Existing toilet facilities might be adapted to accommodate individual ritual cleansing, which is sometimes part of religious lifestyle and worship. If such a space is not available on a permanent or regular basis, extra efforts might be made to address such needs.
You know, this sounds like when the pagans in Rome realized the Christians were becoming a huge force. So they decided to adopt Christianity into their society and accept it and recognize it and change their laws.
Well, that was one man who did that. Constantine.
No, he started the
Who was
movement.
The Roman Empire.
It wasn't until later.
The head of the Roman Empire was the one who said, I'm accepting Christianity as my faith.
Yeah.
Right. So when the emperor says that, which is more than a dictator is today, when the emperor says that, you better damn well start following Christianity.
But the bishops are starting to accept Islam.
Yeah, then they get into...
Because they're running out of, you know, parishioners. They need more dough.
I learned something because they talk about, in this article, woodhoo. Or do you say woodhoo?
Woodhoo do what?
That's the Islamic cleansing ritual. It's carried out by Muslims before they pray. Now, from what I understand, Muslims pray five times a day, right?
Yeah.
So they must cleanse at least five times a day, right?
A lot of cleansing.
They should be the cleanest people on the planet. So the Muslims, well, maybe they're not their Muslims, but the Arabs that I run into...
They stink.
Yeah, they don't seem like they're clean stinking. Five times a day. I'll tell you that. Islam teaches that Muslims are unfit for prayer if they have not performed wudu after breaking wind or using the toilet. Okay, so you pray five times a day. If you can go between prayer one and prayer two without breaking wind...
So you know they're holding that shit in.
Or taking a leak or taking a shit, then you do not have to cleanse. Yeah, I would think that would teach me to hold it in. That's got to be not healthy, don't you think?
You're like, oh, God damn it. Now I got to do woodoo.
Now I got to do woodoo.
God damn it.
Woodoo involves washing the face, hands, arms, and feet three times each, gargling the mouth three times, and washing the neck and inside the nose and ears.
But not your ass?
Some Muslims also wash their private parts. Catholic schools would need to install bidets, foot spas, and hoses to facilitate such extensive cleansing rituals, Muslims say.
Muslims.
Wow. What the hell's going on in the UK?
I don't know, man. Turning over a new leaf.
It's unbelievable to me. Based on a fairy tale. Like, what if 500,000 people showed up and said, we're into Hansel and Gretel, right? So you need to build us a gingerbread house. Yeah. Would they do it? I mean, it's ridiculous.
I think we need to start that movie.
I'd tell them to get the fuck out. Go back. Yeah, whatever.
Get out.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to brainwash your kid into believing in Jesus.
Take your wood
and the resurrection
and get the
of Jesus, okay? That's what we teach here at Catholic school.
So gather up your wood who.
Hit the road.
Hit the road, Jack. Never come back.
Arab. Oh, hey, man.
What's that?
What, Alfie doesn't have a key?
No.
Oh, what, I got to go over and let him in?
I'll get it.
You're going to get it?
Yeah, I'll get
it. All right, you get it, man.
Dude.
He gets to come through the window because he's so small, right? I forget about that. We could do the same thing with Phil, but he's too big to get through the window. Yeah. Hey, man.
Yeah, man. What's happening? Up, man? What the fuck y'all doing, man?
For our new listeners, this is... No. Should I introduce you, or would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey, what don't... Hey, John, will you get talk to John about turn that. My music on? Oh, shit.
For our new listeners, every time this year... this festivist time
he's
of year.
He's John, he's Scott, I'm Alfie, man.
Alfie the Elf drops by.
Oh.
Gives us the latest from the North Pole.
John was looking at me funny, like I'm talking, and he's looking at me like, what the fuck, man? I don't bring my own shit.
Hey, man, I got a question for you.
Yeah, what's up,
now,
man?
We had
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Hey.
I stole Santa's sleigh, so I can only
Merry
stay
Christmas.
A short time, man.
His sleigh and the reindeers,
and
right?
And the reindeers,
you got to bring the whole crew, or do you just have to bring one?
No, I just bring like two of them.
Yeah, because you're like a midget, right?
I
you're
bring
a dwarf.
Down to... Fuck you, man. Well,
I'm
Papa
sorry,
Cap
an elf. What, how would you like
Cap
me to refer to...
I'm an elf of color,
an
man.
Elf of color.
I tell you that all the time.
Right on.
I'm going to punch you in the spleen, man. What the fuck?
All right, man, so...
I rode in with Donda and Blitzen.
Donder and Blitzen.
Yeah, Donder and Blitzen, man. They
right
they the main ideas, man. It brings it. Brings
I got
it
so
out.
Much to ask you. I'm so glad you dropped by.
I'm going over the season. I'm putting John's driveway. You know what I'm saying?
First of all,
I've
been introduced to T.I. and T-Pain.
What the hell is that stuff?
You know, I thought you would know that being an elf of color.
T.I. T-Pain. I don't know what
these
you're
are rappers,
about.
Man.
I don't listen to that shit,
but I don't
man.
Get
I
it.
I listen to Lee Greenwood, man.
I don't get it because
and
they
John
put like
Denver.
This this effect on their voice.
Thank God I'm a country boy. You don't listen to that stuff, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when I was like two.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
All right. So now, I don't know what goes on in the North Pole, but back here in November, it was a historic moment in American history.
Oh, yeah.
Electing the first black president ever. And it just how many four within four the last 40 years blacks didn't even have civil rights
well,
in some
you
part
know,
of this country.
You know, I heard that Obama on his list, and he's been nice, not naughty, asked to be president of the United States.
Oh, so Santa hooked him up.
The big S man did it. I think he gave him exactly what he wanted.
Well, you know, Santa's kind of like God, isn't he?
Yep.
I mean, he can.
Oh, dude,
you can tell if you're naughty
you say,
and
man.
You're nice and. He doesn't even have to be there, and
he's God-like, man. He's a saint. You don't pay attention to that.
Right.
That's why they call him
well,
Saint Nick.
Saint Nick, right, but is the next promotion to God? I mean, does he become a god?
Oh, I don't know, man.
When you become a saint, do you get all these God-like powers?
Yeah, you get powers, man.
Yeah.
Don't you watch TV?
Sometimes.
Yeah, they tell you all that stuff on TV. That's where you learn.
I see.
You're learning stuff on that.
All right, so you have Christmas that you're working for all year, but do you get to take a break and then, like, campaign for Obama? Did you, were you...
Why would I campaign for Obama. I'm not black. I'm an elf of color.
Well, who are you voting for? Do you get to vote up in the North
Pole?
Elves
are green, man.
Do you get to vote? Do you have a voter's card?
No, we ain't allowed to vote yet.
Not yet, huh?
No, only human beings. We're mythical creatures, man. I tell you that all the time.
Are you going to... Are you going to talk to anybody in the Obama camp to try to get that pass that mythical creatures such as elves can
vote?
Yeah, we're working on
that stuff. We got a movement. It's an abolition movement because we're treated like slaves up there in the North Pole, man.
I thought you had a union. You don't have a union?
Yeah, it's not that strong, though, man. We don't got any backing. We don't have, like, we're trying to reach out to Hoffa and trying to get some, you know, some backing there.
Are you getting any bailout money?
No, we don't get none of that.
None of that?
No. We don't even get paid, man. We just make toys.
If I were you, I would take the sleigh with the reindeer. I'd show up in Congress, you know, like these guys from the auto industry.
Oh, like on 34th, Miracle on 34th Street?
Well, yeah, these guys in the auto industry show up in private jets to plead their case.
Just show up in a sleigh.
Did you hear about that, Alfie? That really pissed me off.
Can you imagine the Senate or Congress? We're getting them underwear and coal for their stocking.
Congress says, yeah, we're not going to give you any money. And what does Paulson do? Paulson says, well, I'm going to act on behalf of myself and give you the money because Congress made the wrong decision.
I'll just take it out of the money I was going to give to the banks.
Right.
Which I just give to them. I just say, hey, man, here's some money for the banks, man.
But now, up in the North Pole, you do all that shit without money, right? It's like...
We don't have no money. We know Big S Man, he probably has all the money.
How do you get your materials
and
shit like that?
It's all like... What do you mean we get the material? I don't know.
Like to make the
they
toys.
They probably steal that shit. We're behind barbed wire, man. Why do you think I had to steal the sleigh? I had to hot wire the thing.
So did you follow the election?
It's sweet, too, man. It's got 14 cup holders in there, man.
Did you follow the election at all?
And a big-ass subwoofer. What?
The election. Did you follow it at all?
I didn't follow it. You know, it was November. That's when we're making all the toys,
You don't
man.
Even really care, right? Because you're from the North Pole.
Of course we care, man.
So were you leading one way or the other? You know, like McCain, I'm a McCain supporter.
Yeah, actually, I kind of like McCain a little bit. I liked his ass. You know why? Because he's very short. So we thought he'd be sympathetic to the elf population. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he's very short. He's short.
If you could vote, you would have voted for McCain?
I would have. Because, you know, when that Sarah Palin, she was talking about special needs, you know. And we got very short arms and legs. So we got special needs, too.
And you thought that she, if she were to become president or vice president, she would target or make the focus of her agenda or ideology special needs.
Well, you know, I mean, it's part of that is partly true. The other part is that, you know, they're into mythology. So, and we are mythical creatures. So we knew that we would be brought up at some point, you know.
Being an elf of color, do you face discrimination in the North Pole? Are you in the minority? Or are you in the majority?
Can I answer the question? Or are you just going to be talking over me, little big giant white man?
I had like three questions for you.
The white man? Yeah, of course we do, man. Years ago, we had our own drinking fountain, you know?
Yeah.
So the elves of color had their own drinking fountain. We lived on the south side.
Oh, on the south side of the North Pole.
In the North Pole, the south side of the North Pole, we had our own, the ghetto.
Right.
So we had our own, you know, our own shit up there. It was tough back then. We were running drugs and running guns, shit like that. Playing hip-hop music and driving around a big hoopty. We had some hoes,
You had some, so you the hoes, hoes. You still don't have.
Well,
the,
you know, we evolved a little bit. Now we're included, and we get the same pay as the other elves now, which is jack shit.
I see.
You see what I'm saying?
You still get nothing.
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 And you gotta like hijack the sleigh. Just
I gotta
to
hijack
visit us.
The sleigh, and I don't live on the south side anymore though. But I wish I did.
You know, you don't have Skype.
Pork rind sandwiches and shit like that.
You have Skype up in the North Pole? Skype?
We got the Skype, yeah. Yeah, because then
you wouldn't have to, well, you wouldn't have to get in trouble then, you know. Because Santa knows everything. Even though you think you got away with taking the reindeer and the sleigh, he knows, right?
Oh, like he's not going to know I'm using Skype, right? Because I got to go through the fucking network.
Well, what's the matter with using Skype? I would think that would be a better alternative than stealing the sleigh.
Oh, yeah, www.santaclausisp.com. I mean, it's got to go through that. What do you think? The Northern Lights is the internet.
So
no.
What do you tell them? You're taking it out to get
Google.
Fixed or something?
Yeah, that's what I say. Hey, some shit like that.
Have you seen the movie Elf? With what do you think of that movie? Is that pretty accurate?
It's disgusting.
Why is that?
It's disgusting, man.
Well, you know, one thing I did notice, there are no elves of color in that movie.
The best one is Fred Claus.
Fred Claus
is
your favorite
one? Yeah, you seen that Fred
one?
Claus? Yeah.
I haven't seen that, no.
Yeah, because of what the you gotta see that shit. That's with I don't know what the wood hole I was banging that dude. What's his name? Vince Vaughn.
Oh, Vince Vaughn, yeah.
Vince Vaughn.
How do you know about the word whore?
I listen to, what do you mean? I don't listen to podcasts. I go once in a while, I go to the, you know, I hang out at Starbucks, you know, and then pop in my little laptop. I got teeny tiny laptop. It's only 9 inches. Yeah.
Yeah. Out of sight, man.
Yeah.
Hey,
so what you up to, man?
Who, me? Well, you know everything, right? You just asked Santa. I've been very nice.
I know everything. I'm not.
Well, I would think before you come down here, you'd say, hey, Santa, what's up with John and
Santa,
Scott?
Santa, what's up with John and Scott? I'm going to go tell visit. You everything. I'm going to fucking hijack your sleigh and go down to see them motherfuckers, a big fat ass and a tall, bald asshole. What do you say? Well, I don't talk to him like that.
Nah. Do you even get to talk to Santa ever?
Hell yeah.
Wait, under what circumstances?
Oh, ho, go clean my sleigh. Go drive my sleigh down to the BP and get some gas in it. And then, clean it off.
Hey, wait a minute. There's a BP up in the North Pole? I thought Santa's sleigh ran on Christmas spirit reindeer.
Oh, right. That's a bunch of shit, man. The reindeer for show. They just sit on top of like a little plate, and then there's a jet engine on the back. It blows it all around.
I see.
It's all sleight of hand trickery.
Hey, so you seen any good movies?
No.
No? You don't get to see, there's no theater up in the North Pole? No.
I seen Step Brothers, one John was talking about. That's a funny ass movie. I
like
when
that
they
one?
Say pussy. I love that.
You know, I would think your favorite Christmas movie would be Bad Santa. Because there was like a little midget who was...
You're funny, man.
What? I thought you would relate to
midget.
That.
I'm an elf. I'm a mythical creature.
Well,
I am proportionate.
Short in stature.
No, but I have all my shit's proportions. Like my long dong, man. I'm like Tripod Man from the underworld.
Oh, I see.
I'm built like an infant down there, man.
Hey, so how does it work up there with
the
ladies?
18 inches and 9.5 pounds. Damn! Snap!
How does it work up there with the ladies in the
what
North Pole?
What do you
Pole?
Mean?
I mean, what kind of lines do you use?
How does it work up there?
On other elves? Or do you... you wouldn't want to ever want to hit on a human, would you?
Well, there's, you know, we have pubs, bars, whatever you want, like a lounge.
Yeah.
You know, with some hip-hop music playing, we walk in and we say some shit, you know, like you get them all liquored up, drop them a roofie in their eggnog.
Right.
And then say some shit like, oh, look at your eyes. No wonder the skies are gray. The blue is all in your eyes. You know, that shit works, man.
Yeah, it works, huh?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So you're a player.
I say, hey, man, let me look at the tag on your shirt.
You're a player
up
there.
Oh, shit, I thought it was going to say angel, made by angels.
Well, you know, in California, they just rejected Prop 8, or no, they accepted Prop 8, which says no to homosexual marriage.
Yeah.
Being a mythical creature and all, is marriage even a concept that elves have, or do you just have, like, sex?
No, we just do it, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, we have these little camps. We have these retreats that happen because Santa wants us to keep popping out more elves. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because we don't last forever. I mean, I'm 400 years old as it is now.
Right.
But, you know, we don't last forever. You know, we just kind of disappear. I don't know exactly how it happens. I don't see any gravestones or nothing, but...
You could be gone tomorrow. You don't know.
Gone tomorrow. I think they rendition the elves.
So when you're 400 years plus, I mean, do you have to rely on pharmaceuticals to entertain the ladies? You know what I'm saying?
No. What do you mean? Like a Viagra?
Yeah, yeah.
Some stuff like that? Yeah. No.
No?
No, we just pour some of that pixie dust right on the old shit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Pixie dust.
Yeah, that's the stuff we put on the, supposedly, that we put on the reindeer to make them fly. It's magic, you know, magic corn. We grind that shit up and we just sprinkle it on our schwants, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
we put it on a Jimmy.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I would try to, if I were you.
Yeah.
I would try to smuggle some pixie dust out, you know.
Yeah, sell it on the street.
Sell that shit
said?
On the street. That's what I'm saying.
Hell no, yeah. We've been trying to. You never know.
Trying to move that. That's what
I'm
trying to
move. You never know.
So
move a couple kilos of that shit.
Where
man.
Does that come from, pixie dust? Is that from pixies?
Yes.
What are pixies?
They're like little fairies. Don't you know stuff like that? You being a fairy yourself,
like,
you should know that.
Like Tinkerbell?
Yeah.
What do? You twist them? Like you twist their head and pixie dust comes out?
No, when they fly around, the pixie dust, you got to chase them around with the pixie bag.
A pixie bag.
Why you got to say pixie bag and blow my eardrums out, man?
I'm sorry, man.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
Pixie bag.
You know, the cans you're wearing, they're not the human size cans. They're the little elf. Mystical elf sized cans.
Mystical? Mythical.
And they're not.
We're not mystical. Mythical.
And they're
man.
Not equipped to handle those types of.
Yeah.
I understand. I'm sorry.
What
I
else
apologize.
You got? I got to go, man. It's
That's
late.
It. That's all I got.
That's
you got anything
got?
For me?
No. I think I'll. You know what I'm going to do? Maybe next week I'll stop by again.
Yeah,
and
stop
I'll
by.
Read a Christmas story like I did last year.
Yeah, last year you did The Night Before Christmas,
yeah.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
You going to pick out another one, come by?
What do you got?
I
you
don't
want
know.
Me to read something?
What do you mean? What do I got?
Well,
what
I
do
know.
You got? You're the
I'll
Christmas guy.
I'll read the
guy?
Grinch Stole Christmas or something
that
like
sounds
that.
Good.
Right?
Right on.
I'll do it like they did do in the hood. You know, the Grinch stole Christmas from the hood.
From the hood.
Yeah. Well, we used to say it like on the South Side, man.
Right on.
All right, I gotta go, man.
All right, man.
Cue my music, John. Oh, you got it. All right, bye. I gotta go.
Thanks for stopping by, Alfie.
I'll see you.
See you next week.
Big tall white night. Bye.
Oh, shit. Now I got my mic back finally. He's like spit all over it.
You know, you'd think he'd come in the summer when he's got nothing going on. But it's nice that he visits us during the busiest time. You know, for him anyway.
Yeah.
Busiest time of year.
I think that's the only time he gets to sleigh. I don't think in the summer.
Because they put it in storage somewhere?
Well, yeah. I imagine when it, you know, if he sneaks it out, it doesn't look so bad if it's on somebody's front lawn. Oh, look. John got a new decoration.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But if it's there in the summer, it'd be like, what the fuck
yeah, what's
is
that?
That?
Yeah. It's like the couple houses down, there's a nativity scene.
Yeah. So if there was a nativity in summer, he'd be like, right. That's the real Jesus in there. Yeah.
All right, that makes sense.
All right, Andrew's Minute. We got Andrew's Minute. Should we crank this up?
Before we get to Andrew's Minute, one more religious story.
You got
to
knock all my shit down. You know,
no, I'm sorry.
Trying to be producer, you're bitching about how much time we do this, and they're like, okay, boom, boom, boom. You know, before we get to that.
Well, it's kind of segues from our last story, and then I'm done.
All right.
So the Muslims are overtaking the UK. It's going out of control in the UK. And then what happens is apparently they're moving into Moscow as well.
Oh.
Now, the Saudis have recently asked permission to build a mosque in Moscow. A city where there are only 4 mosques and 2 million Muslims. But get this, man. This is why the Russians are so fucking cool. The Russians, however, are saying they want, in return, an Orthodox church in Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
Isn't that kick-ass?
Yeah. Give us your money and build a church.
So, as we all know, the Saudis have a habit of constructing mosques in dozens of the world capitals while forbidding houses of worship for any religion whatsoever outside.
So why does the UK do that then? Yeah, we'll start doing the prayer in Catholic churches and schools as long as you build some Catholic churches in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, there you go. We'll do that.
What?
What a great fucking response, man. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah, we'll
punch
do that.
In the fucking face.
Build a Catholic church in Saudi Arabia, then.
Yeah.
You goddamn Arabs.
Goddamn Arabs.
All right. I'm ready for Andrew's.
Andrew's Minute.
Minute.
All right.
Andrew's Minute.
Andrew's Minute. Can you guess what's in it? What's he gonna say? Will he say something? Andrew's
Minute. Nice.
John and Scott. Oh. I hope you're well. Andrew from the UK here. Sorry. I'm watching a football game here and he's offside. Come on. That guy was offside. Ah, man. It's just terrible. Anyway, back to Andrew's Minute. I was going to talk about economics and... the cricket scores just come in. Oh, I can't believe that. England's ahead in India. That's fantastic. 350-run lead. That's amazing. What's that? The umpire's eating a banana skin on off stump? What? That's bizarre. So economics. I think I've run out of time. I guess that wasn't so great, was it, watching sports whilst I'm trying to concentrate on something? Must be pretty annoying for people not being able to see the football match and the cricket match that I'm watching. And of course there's not much point talking about it because by the time they're hearing what I'm saying, the results would be out, so that doesn't make a lot of sense really, does it? Anyway, whatever. I'll try not to be so distracted next time. See ya.
What is he saying, John?
Smarmy.
What an arrogant smarmy.
You can't.
Limey.
Fucking
limey. Where's our limey clip?
Do we have one? The slimy?
Yeah, from Tropic Thunder.
Oh, right.
You limey fuck!
Yeah, Andrew's Minute. Thanks again, Andrew, for that lovely minute. Which was only about 20 seconds.
No, he had a very good point there. But in our defense, John, we rarely do podcasts where there's a game on, right?
Except for twice this year.
But twice in a row, right? It was a Thursday and a Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like boom, boom. Yeah, you won't have to hear that shit again. Don't worry about it. And we don't, I didn't think it would distract that much from what we were talking about.
Well, I like how he added the background with the, you know, the sports and all that.
Yeah, besides, we're talking about football, not cricket, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to get all...
Actually, I added the background.
Did you?
I want credit for that, yeah. Thank you so
I don't
want
to get all homophobe on Andrew, but cricket? Come on, really?
Oh, my God. I got in this argument with the limey at work about it because he started going off about how baseball is so stupid and how easy it is. And it's cricket is so much harder.
Yeah, and that's why Indians can play it.
Yeah. Yeah, he says that the baseball, I don't know how they could call it a sport. It doesn't take any athleticism whatsoever.
How many Indians are in baseball, John? Huh?
I don't know.
None. There you go.
But what cracks me up is, like, with cricket, the bowler, who is the pitcher, he's supposed to whip this hard ball at, like, these two sticks that stick out of the ground, and he's got to bounce it, and the guy hits it on a bounce. But if a guy hits it, like, in an inside stadium and hits the ball to the roof, it's 12 runs.
If he hits the roof?
Yeah, something like that. It's like crazy about, oh, that's good for 12 runs. That's why Andrew said they're winning 315 to nothing, because
That's the kind of shit you make up in a playground when you're 12, right?
And it takes like 5 days for a cricket game.
All right, dude, if I hit it past the swings, all right, that's a triple. But if
it's
if I hit the top bar of the swing, that's four home runs, man.
Four
home
runs.
It's like a grand slam even if nobody's on the base.
Right. Oh, he's hitting it to the roof. That's an easy 12 runs. Whatever. Hilarious.
Yeah.
So you got any science?
I don't. Well, I do, but I have some celebrity.
Celebrity.
This, I just saw this before I got here. I didn't get to read it in depth, but here's what I read. In an interview, Sir Paul McCartney, John, said that he, Paul McCartney, persuaded Lennon to oppose the war in Vietnam.
What?
He claimed the group's politicization began after he met the philosopher Bertrand Russell in London in the mid-60s. Sir Paul's critics see his comments as a further attempt to revise history of the Beatles. And I couldn't agree more with that. So Paul McCartney comes out. He's now saying that if it wasn't for me, if I didn't tell John to oppose the Vietnam War, he never would have opposed the Vietnam War. Which is the biggest bunch of shit, from what I understand,
yeah,
about myself. Like, John, you and I, we don't like things in society, right?
Yeah.
And we would, we're too lazy to even get involved.
Right.
If somebody told us about them, we'd be like, yeah, I already know about that, but I'm too lazy to get involved. If somebody is as passionate as a John Lennon about Vietnam and about protesting Vietnam, he's not going to do it because Paul McCartney told him to do it. He's doing it because it's a part of his being.
It's not my fault. He told me to do it.
And again, Lennon gets shot in the 80s by who? Chapman?
Right in the 80s he got shot.
In the 80s. 1980.
Shot him right in the 80s. Ow.
So McCartney still lives, so he gets to rewrite history? Yeah. Is that how it works? So if I'm the W, I'm like, hey, give me all this shit that can make me outlive all of y'all.
Well, I fucking told him, didn't I?
And then I'll rewrite history in my favor.
I told Lennon about the Vietnam War.
John and I were sitting having a beer, and I said,
we're having
John,
a pint, not a beer. We don't. It's an
it's
ale.
It's a pint, yeah.
It's an ale. Fucking...
I said,
aisles.
John, you should not, you should speak out against the Vietnam War.
Wait a minute. Are you doing the pulp or fuck?
And he told me, fuck off. You cockwit.
I don't think they say piss off.
You fuck face.
You piss off. You pissy.
You tetanus.
You cunt. You po-faced wanker. You po-faced bloody wanker.
Unbelievable. The only thing Paul McCartney cared about during the Beatles was money and making everybody know that Paul McCartney was the one behind the Beatles. I mean, even when Lennon wanted to quit, McCartney took credit for that. He quit first. So Lennon comes and says, hey, I'm out. I want out.
You can't quit.
And then Lennon runs to a radio show or whatever and says, yeah, I quit the Beatles today.
I quit the Beatles.
I think I'm quitting the Beatles today. What a dick.
Oh, fucking shithouse bollocks.
McCartney.
Yeah.
Let's hear Andrew's minute on that.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, another celebrity news. I don't know if you heard this, but Britney Spears has inquired about joining. Do you know what she wants to join, John?
No.
The Church of Scientology. The singer has reportedly contacted devout Hubbard followers Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes to learn more about the controversial faith. According to the UK's Heat magazine. I wonder if Heat magazine is like the Globe. You know what I'm saying?
What is it? The what?
The Heat magazine from the UK. Heat. Is that like the weekly world news that we get here?
Probably.
Britney recently told a pal, I have met Katie a few times, so I called her up and just started asking questions about Scientology.
What the?
And then I started coughing. I'm always open to new things. Katie told me she wasn't so sure about it at first either, but once Tom explained it to her and she read the books and took some classes, it really started to work for her. Then Tom wanted to talk to me about it, so I did. He was
nice.
He answered all my questions and sent me books.
Wow.
I love this story if it's true.
Wow.
For a couple of reasons. First of all, Scientology wants you to stay away from psychiatric drugs, right?
Yeah. Psychotropic.
The only way Britney Spears can function as a normal person is to take psychotropic drugs.
Yeah.
So how is Scientology going to spin it when she completely flips out again like she did before and shaves her head and does all this shit? I mean, this woman doesn't even have custody of her own kids, does she?
Joint.
So?
Joint.
What is Scientology going to do here other than take half her money?
Britney Spears is a goddess to catheter.
Britney Spears, I think, has an influence on catheter's libidos.
Britney Spears' special influence that she has on this band really comes from Phil.
The reason we keep images of Britney around is just to perk up the day, you know?
I think Britney is... has always been motivation for us. One of our songs is called Britney, and it's about a stalker who follows Britney around.
Our music is about Britney Spears. It's all for her. Every note.
Frankly, I'm not a fan. I think she's kind of a slut.
I mean, she sucks my ass as a musician, but she sure is fucking pretty to look at, man.
She looks like she's got, you know, downs or something to me.
She's just a delicious little slut. And, you know, she just brightens our day.
But she's the epitome of a gorgeous pop star person type thing.
Frankly, if she fell off the face of the earth tomorrow and stopped making music, I wouldn't shed a tear.
If we had more luscious babes to post on the walls, we'd put them up.
She's a good motivator. Gwen Stefani as well. Whew. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Nothing more than, you know, a little snap in the trousers. You know, that's all she's good for.
Snap in the trousers.
So
that was from the epic.
Yes, the epic
rockumentary.
Rockumentary.
The catheter rockumentary. If you want to see that, go to Google Video and type in catheter with a K.
Yeah.
And see the band that John was in. And then he left.
Yeah.
Right after their...
I left.
Release of their CD, Soapy Orifice. It's all captured. All the drama and all the music is captured in that.
It puts the lotion on the skin.
Documentary.
Or gets the hose again. You ever hear those two guys on the radio now?
What two guys?
They got this this show. It's called... what is it called?
I don't know, man. The guy from... Silence of the Lambs is on it?
Yeah, but he also, yeah. No, he does like the traffic, and they call him Paul the Perv.
Paul the Perv.
This is Paul the Perv. It puts the lotion on the skin or gets the hose again. I'm Paul the Perv.
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
It's a radio show.
On what channel?
Something in Tingle. Tingle and Tangle on... Q101, I think it is.
I'll have to check that out.
I think it's in the afternoon. Or maybe they're in the morning. I think they're in the morning now.
Last celebrity story, John. Will Smith. I read this in...
It puts the lotion on the skin or gets the hose again.
In Newsweek. Yeah. Newsweek. Will Smith. You know who Will Smith
Willie.
Is?
Willie. Yeah, William.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
Yes. Here's what he says in Newsweek. I love the nature of humanity's search for meaning. For me, I'm certain about my relationship with the model of perfection of human life that's laid out with the life of Jesus Christ. I'm certain of that. I'm at home and I'm not fearful when I sit in a mosque or a synagogue or a Buddhist temple, the same way that I'm at home in the Church of Scientology.
Wow.
I like anywhere people are searching for the truth, and I respect their path, and I'm intrigued by their path. Now, here's what I don't get. I just don't get this. Hold on. I got to cough. Here's what he says.
Just say hit the cough button.
I think when you are certain in and of what you believe in, you can open your mind to see the ways of others. Does that make any sense to you at all? It doesn't make any sense
just
to me.
Just fucking act and make rap records and shut up.
Right. So I'm certain. I love the nature of humanity's search for meaning. So he's amused by it, is what he's saying?
These people don't have any time. They have too much time on their hands.
I understand.
They act in a movie, they make $1 billion, and then they just... I'll tell you an example. I mean, they get these colonics, and like, who gets a colonic? Where they shove a tube up your ass and
somebody
clean out
with
all
nothing
your
else
shit.
To do.
Right. They have nothing to do, so they pine around and they, oh shit, I need to have some meaning. I got to develop something. I got to tap into mysticism and come up with something. And then while I'm on TV, I'm going to talk about it, or I'm in an interview. So my life isn't just a character on the screen. It means something, and I want to share it with the world because I'm an artiste.
I see. I see.
They're lonely.
So he loves the nature of humanity's search for meaning, but for him, he already knows. He's certain of it. It's the relationship with the model of the perfection of human life that's laid out with Jesus Christ. For him, that's a certainty. But he loves the nature of humanity's search for meaning. So he's amused by it, right? Is that what that means?
I guess.
But I just don't get this. I think when you are certain in and of what you believe in, you can open your mind to see the ways of others. So that's it. What he's saying is, I can open my mind to see how delusional everybody else is.
And I
see the ways
of
others. Because I know it's Jesus. Jesus is the answer, right? But I can open up my mind and see how fucked up everybody else is. Is that what he's saying? I don't know what he's saying. Because if...
What does that mean? I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
If you say Jesus is the answer, then there's no other questions to ask, right?
Right.
So what's the point?
Why bother?
Why bother?
You're done.
Right.
It's complete. Just slit your throat. You're over.
Well, no, you can't do that. You know, Jesus frowns upon suicide.
Frowns.
Yeah, he doesn't like that. But he does like if you, for example, if you're Abraham, right? He does like if you show up in Egypt and you pass off your wife as your sister and you let her become one of the Pharaoh's hooers. That's okay with him.
Yeah.
Then he blames it on the Pharaoh.
Right.
And he puts a plague on the Pharaoh.
Ramses?
Not on Abraham. Right.
Right.
So that's the kind of shit he does like. I just don't get Will Smith. I would love to talk to Will Smith.
Give him a call.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Email him. Text him.
If you are certain...
Let's call him on Skype.
If you are certain of the meaning of life, then how could you open your mind? Your mind is shut. That's what I don't get. He says he can open his mind.
Scott.
It is complicated. I guess it's too complicated for me.
Yeah. Maybe if I understand.
Maybe if I was an actor, I would get it.
Matter, douche.
I'm intrigued by that, Will Smith.
Yes.
I will track you down. Maybe even stalk you.
Be careful. Yeah.
All right, let's see if I got any science news, John. Science news. Science. Oh, I do have one science story. It's not really a science story.
It'll do.
Because it's out of the New Scientist.
Ah, it's a great, great organization, Scott.
Abhay Ashtakar. was taken aback when watching a simulation of the universe rewind towards the Big Bang. Mostly, the universe behaves as expected, becoming smaller and denser as the galaxies converge. But instead of reaching the Big Bang singularity, the universe bounced and started expanding again. What on Earth, John, was happening? Okay.
Well, nothing.
So this guy creates the simulation of a big crunch, right? So we have the Big Bang. And he's amazed of what happens in his simulation. The one that he created.
Oh, my God. Look what happened.
But get this language. Get this next part of it. This is from The New Scientist, one of the worst science publications known to man. Ashitakar wanted to be sure of what he was seeing, so he asked his colleagues to sit on the results for 6 months before publishing in 2006. And no wonder. The theory that recycles the universe was based on, called loop quantum cosmology, had managed to illuminate the very birth of the universe. Get this, John. Something even Einstein's general theory of relativity fails to do. I got to tell you, yeah. I really need to get a job as an editor at The New Scientist.
Why?
Because I would have looked at the story and I would have thrown it in the goddamn trash. I would have just thrown it out. Who's writing this shit? That's what I want to know. So this guy, Abhar Ashitakar, right?
Yeah.
He creates a simulation. So basically he's creating a video game of the universe.
Right.
And then he hits execute. And his universe expands, and then it crunches, and it expands, and it crunches. And now we're supposed to stop and say, oh yeah, he's got all the answers now. This is the easy answer for the universe right here. And then they throw Einstein under the bus. Because general relativity fails to do this.
So?
General relativity fails in a fairy tale simulation that Abhay created.
Boy, you sound like one of those Bose conservatives.
So then
some young, smart, or maybe it's Bohr.
Whatever.
Bohr conservatives.
Bohr.
That whenever some smart young physicist walks onto the scene, you all say, fuck you, you don't know what you're talking about, shut up.
I'll get to that. So then if you look at this article, then in, you know, when you look at articles, they have like the highlighted text in the middle, right?
Yeah.
To draw your attention and make you read that, maybe you'll get interested in the article. Then they re-highlight, Einstein's relativity fails to explain the very birth of the universe, which is true. That is true.
Yeah.
It breaks down at the singularity. Do you know what a singularity is, John?
It's single.
That's when the mathematics say they produce the product of infinity. That's the singularity. So mathematics breaks down at that point. LQC, which is the loop quantum cosmology, has been tantalizing physicists since 2003. With the idea that our universe could conceivably have emerged from the collapse of a previous universe. Now the theory is poised to make predictions we can actually test. You know, the entire article, I didn't see any predictions that it was going to make. And you know what this whole thing is based on?
What?
String theory.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Now, they don't mention it in the article, John. Well, I actually only read the first page. So they may have. I didn't read the whole thing. So the whole, his whole simulation, everything is based on string theory, which is based on math. So they took a problem and they solved it with math. And now they're coming up with math on top of math based on string theory, which is a non-testable theory. I mean, it's just a waste of time. It's a bunch of shit. And then they throw Einstein under the bus on top of it. It really pisses me off.
Yeah, but I thought, every time they come to this, to the relativity, that there's all kinds of shit like branching off from it and causing more problems and more I mean, it's treated as orthodox. It's like a religion.
What, relativity?
Yeah.
Special or general?
I don't know which one. I don't know which one. Special, general, whatever you want. Pick one.
I've never heard that about general relativity. But here's the thing. Here is the thing. If you accept, let's accept the theory that the universe collapses and expands, collapses and expands. If that's the case, it would never reach the singularity. And if it never reaches the singularity, Einstein's general theory of relativity still fucking works. That's what they get wrong here. Einstein's theory breaks down when it hits the singularity. But if you're going to bounce and retract and contract and bounce again and never get to the singularity, Einstein still works. You fuckers, this new scientist. Now, and the other thing is, based on our current observation, the universe that we exist in, John, is expanding exponentially. It's expanding so fast that galaxies on the fringe, on the edge of our visible universe, are soon going to disappear because it's expanding faster than the fucking speed of light. And that's based on observation. So if that's the case, when is this big crunch going to happen? When is that going to happen? They don't explain any of this shit in the article.
So what's the...
The article's based...
Beyond the speed of light.
186,000 miles per second.
What's the speed beyond it?
What do you mean, beyond it?
Beyond the... You beyond said it's it. Faster than the speed of light.
It's expanding faster than the speed of light.
So
that's
what
different
speed
than
is that?
Traveling faster than the speed of light, because nothing can travel faster than the speed of light except light itself, John.
Okay.
So space is expanding faster than the speed of light.
So what do you call that? What
light.
Speed is that? The speed of what?
The speed of faster than light.
Superluminal speed?
I have no idea.
Really fast speed faster than light speed?
It's
speed?
Really, really fast.
Really, really fast.
So if you take the current observations that we have, and you say, well, what's the universe going to look like in 10 billion years? It's going to be us in this other galaxy that's close to us. We're going to slam together. And then all the other galaxies, we're not going to even be able to see them because the expansion of the universe is happening so quickly. So we'll be alone, isolated, very cold, very dark, very solitaire.
Yeah. Okay, well, the song is over, so move along.
All right, so basically it's a bullshit article from a bullshit magazine called New Scientist. Stay away from this. Don't get your science from New Science.
Right.
They fuck everything up that I've seen. It's a bunch of shit.
So why don't you email them? Call them out. Get them on the show.
I don't know.
Have them Skype in.
I'm lazy.
Do a real debate instead of these attacks.
So again, you know.
Because you're chicken. I think you're scared.
I just wonder when the big crunch is going to occur, when we're expanding faster than anybody thought.
That's all. Send him a comment.
Oh, the author?
Yeah.
All right, I'll try to track that down.
You get the comment on the bottom of the article, don't you?
I'll try to track that down.
See if you can develop a dialogue.
I'll see if I can.
Yeah, you big chicken.
I will. No, I will.
Yeah, okay.
I'll take this on as TTN homework.
Just like you wanted to go see the movie tonight till I
called you. TTN homework.
Come on, let's go. My sphincter
you know, you
is
got
really
a hangover.
Aching. Yeah, you got a hangover.
I got goat's ass.
My daughter's getting sick, and she might want to stay home, so I'll have to nap all day.
You know, I keep turning around, and looking at the clock here, and it keeps saying 9:37.
Yeah, it's wrong. It's 10:45.
Oh, all right. Then.
Get a watch.
I have a watch, but the spring broke, or the thing that holds the band
watch?
Together.
I got like 30 watches.
I have one. Well, I have two of them. I don't know where my other one is.
Oh, man. What the hell is that?
All right. That must be Phil. But before we get to Phil, I got one more W story. I don't know if you've heard this, John, but the W is... has turned down a request from President-elect Barack Obama to move from Chicago into the Blair House. Do you know what the Blair House is?
No.
This is the official guest residence across Pennsylvania Avenue from the White House. So Obama requests, hey, let me stay at the Blair House. I want to get my daughters in school. I want to start them in January right after the break and have them start in their new school. So let me stay in the Blair House. And the W said, no, forget it. The Obamas were told they could move into Blair House on January 15th, but no earlier because it is booked.
With who?
They won't say. We explored the idea so that the girls could start school on schedule, but they were previously scheduled events and guests that couldn't be displaced. What more guests are more important than the president-elect is what I want to know. White House officials declined to disclose specifically who is using Blair House during the period, for what purpose, or how they could take precedence over the president-elect.
Wow.
One White House official would say only that it had been booked for receptions and gatherings by members of the departing Bush administration.
Again, don't need them.
Those receptions, the official said, don't make it suitable for full-time occupancy by the Obamas yet. All right, so the W and his douches are throwing parties or whatever the fuck they're doing. You think, who would even show up to that? You know what I'm saying? Like, you get a invitation for the W to go to some party the last 20 days of his presidency.
The W's and his douches.
I'd be like, fuck that. I got better things to do. I'd rather take a nap than go to one of those dumbass parties. Unless I could throw a shoe at him, you know?
Shoe throwing party.
Yeah. All right, let me get the door, man.
Is he still there?
I'm coming down with something.
See?
Oh, you think he's not there anymore?
Oh, there he goes. Jesus Christ. Hold on.
Can we let him in the window?
No, I don't think so.
It's too big. That fur coat wouldn't fit through.
I don't think we could do it.
All right, man.
Can you get it, please?
I'm on my way.
Jesus Christ. I want to go to bed already.
Hey, man, hurry up. Get your ass back here. Sit down. You got 5 minutes to do the news. Got it?
Ass wipe. Yeah, just sit down. Mumble.
Like a dog.
You got that 5 minutes. Look at I'm showing him my fingers. 5 minutes. Five. I'm flashing.
Just flash him your middle finger five times.
One, two, three, four. Oh, that works pretty well.
Your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken-Whitcomb.
Thank you, John.
And fuck you, Scott. I will get to the news in my own due time. Thank you very much. I'm a professional. And that's all I have to say about that. Phil kind of sounds like Forrest Gump, doesn't he? Forrest Gump. That's all I got to say about that. All right, then, John. First story tonight.
Oh.
Time to stock up on booze and bullets. This economy is going down the shitter, John. The Federal Reserve refuses to disclose recipients of $2 trillion in emergency loans. The Federal Reserve refused a request.
Why is that?
By Bloomberg News to disclose the recipients of more than $2 trillion of U.S. taxpayer money and assets that the central bank is accepting as collateral. Bloomberg filed suit November 7th under the U.S. Freedom of Information Act requesting details about the terms of the lending programs most created during the deepest financial crisis since the Great Depression. Next story, John. A new study says, John, people who smile in their online profile photos usually have more friends. Also, people who show cleavage usually have bigger guns. Next story, John. Man says his pussy shot him by mistake. A North Carolina man who was shot in the thigh Friday at first blamed his cat, and then he blamed himself. Charlie Busick of Eden told Sheriff's deputies that he left a .45 caliber pistol on the love seat. The Greensboro News and Record reported he said that the cat jumped on the seat and landed on the pistol, setting it off. But he later denied that his pussy was responsible. Instead, he said that he had put his hand out of the seat for balance while he was standing up, landing on the gun. Busted called a friend after shooting to ask for a ride to the hospital. Next story shot. Next story shot. The Pope, John. The Pope makes the news wearing priceless jewels and carrying a staff made of solid gold.
Oh.
He condemns global financial system as self-centered, short-sighted, and lacking concern for the poor. After which he preached about the glory of heaven's reward for the righteous and the necessity of trusting your fate to God. Just before getting into a heavily armored, bulletproof security vehicle surrounded by armed guards. Next story, John. Firefighters are called, John, to rescue 73-year-old man who got his pole stuck in a pipe. Freaked out fireman had to use a pneumatic saw to cut off a piece of steel pipe stuck while being used as a sex toy by a 73-year-old man. The crews were called in when staff at St. Luke's Cornell Hospital in Newburgh, near New York, couldn't remove the pipe by normal methods because of the extent of the swelling.
By normal methods.
Assistant Fire Chief Scott Medusky said firefighters chose a whizzer saw, an automotive tool powered with air bottles and commonly to saw off mufflers to get the job done. Just don't cut it off, the Times-Herald reported. The worried victim is saying the critical operation took more than 90 minutes as firemen sawed through the pipe bit by bit. The man apparently still has both his bits.
Nice.
Next story, John. FCC commissioner came out and he said Warcraft is leading cause of college dropouts. This is on December 12th. FCC commissioner stated the video game addiction, especially to World of Warcraft, is a leading cause of the college dropouts. Never mind that 90% of the people diagnosed with video game addiction don't have any such condition, even according to the crazily broad definition used by its proponents. Next and last story, John. Doctor's advice, leave the toilet seat up. That's right, John. One of the longest-running spousal debates may now be settled in favor of men and for the sake of little boys. Leave the toilet seat up, some British doctors now say. The reason, a rising trend for heavily wooden and ornamental toilet seats to fall down onto the penises of unsuspecting and just potty-trained toddlers. Dr. Joe Phillip and his colleagues at Lehigh Hospital crew in England detailed such penis crush injuries in the December issue of the journal BGU International. The team reports on four boys between the ages of 2 and 4 who were admitted to hospitals with injuries serious enough to require an overnight stay. The doctors say the injuries have implications for holiday travel and at-home toilet safety for parents with male toddlers.
Toddlers?
So, doctor's advice, leave the toilet seat up. And that's the news, John.
Right. Very good. It's a short one. Short one, Phil. Wow, short one.
Scott told me I had 5 minutes and I delivered in 3.
Very good.
Thank
very
you very
professional.
Much. I am very professional. If all nothing right. else, I am professional.
Just out of here right away, huh?
That's right. I got to go. You don't have time for me. I don't all have right. time for you.
All right. See ya.
Suck it. Right up.
Wow. All right. That brings us to another wonderful closing of the show.
There you have it. 154 in the can, John.
Of the show. Of the
154.
And don't forget, we're coming up on Christmas.
That's right, John. Alfie's going to come back next week.
Write some letters to Santa. We'll read them on the show.
Or call in.
Call in with your wishes. Or if you have a message for Alfie, give us a ring at 847, goddamn, I'm tired.
TTN Jizz.
Jizz, G-I-Z-D, 847-886-4493. And thanks for listening. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And he's tired. And we're out of here. See ya.
You're listening to John and Scott
on Total Talk Nonsense.